Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And we're going to begin today with what sounds like something from the Cold War era, back when Americans and Russians spent a lot of time trying to spy on each other. Because this is a story about Americans and Russians trying to spy on each other, or in this case, Russians trying to spy on Americans.
You might recall 2 years ago when American authorities rounded up a Russian spy ring, including a couple from Cambridge who were living under false identities as Donald Heathfield and Tracy Leanne Foley. They were among about a dozen people arrested for espionage and eventually sent back to Russia.
Now, there's a new twist on this story. U.S. authorities now say the spies were planning to recruit their own children to become agents, encouraging them, if you will, to join the family business. That includes the Cambridge couple who were allegedly grooming their young son, Tom Foley, to be a Russian spy. Devlin Barrett reported the story in today's Wall Street Journal, and he joins us now from Washington. Hi, Devlin.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So when these folks were first arrested, back in 2010, U.S. authorities said that these spies were, for the most part, pretty ineffectual. But this story suggests that the spy ring maybe it was a bit more sophisticated. What did you find out?
Yeah, I think what you have to remember about when they first broke this case was they put out a certain amount of information which was essentially good enough to authorize arrests and good enough to proceed in court, but they by no means laid out all the information they had gathered in the case. And so what has since come to light from talking to sources is that, among other things, they had begun the recruitment of Tim Foley, the eldest son of the Cambridge couple. And in fact, one of the other spies, one of the adults, had in fact worked at a politically connected firm in Manhattan and Washington for a number of years. So this wasn't just a series of sort of bumbling silliness. There was significant activity behind this ring.
Yeah, and with regard to this intention to recruit the kids, does it appear that this was their plan all along, to train their kids to be spies as well?
Yeah, and I think the caveat you have to understand is that most of these kids were pretty young. Tim Foley was essentially the oldest of the group, and so his recruitment, as I've been told, had actually begun when the adult spies were rounded up. But what I was also told was that general plan was that was the goal generally for the other kids as they got older. Hmm. Not a universal thing. It wasn't, you know, an absolute all of our kids are going to be spies type situation. But it was a definite goal that they had for kids within that group.
Now, you quote a Boston lawyer, Peter Krupp, who represented one of the people arrested in Cambridge, who was the father of Tom Foley. And he called the U.S. account, he discounted it with some colorful language and said it would have been too risky for the parents to reveal their operation to their son. Do we know why U.S. authorities actually believe this, or how do you respond to Peter Krupp?
Well, I think, one, it's not my response, it's the U.S. officials' view of it. But I think the U.S. officials' view of it is, one, risk is a relative term when you're talking about spies. I mean, mm-hmm. Everything they were doing was loaded with risk. Having children at all was loaded with risk. So it is not inconceivable in the greater scheme that there would be other risky things they would do within that operation. I think what most surprised, frankly, some of the U.S. officials involved in this case was the Cambridge parents sat down Tim Foley, I'm told that when they revealed who they were and that they wanted him to join the family business, at the end of that conversation, he stood up and saluted Mother Russia. And what I think the surprise to some folks on the U.S. side of this case and based on all their surveillance was that he basically agreed to right out of the gate. There was some surprise that this, for all intents and purposes, very American young man would say yes off the bat.
Hmm.
So I think that's sort of the dynamic we're talking about in terms of risk and expected behavior versus unexpected behavior.
And so we know that these spies were arrested and charged and eventually sent back to Russia, swapped for some Americans who were being held. What sort of work were they doing while they were here? Any new details on that front?
Well, just to be clear, they were swapped for people who are essentially viewed as being Russian agents of the U.S. intelligence operations.
Right.
Not Americans in Russia.
I see. I see.
But they were doing – it's interesting. What we know to date is that they were – at least as focused on economic, you know, almost what you might call market espionage as what do you think of sort of the generic political and military espionage. And one of the things we know, and this isn't particularly new, but the new component that's in the story is the man who worked as an IT person at the politically connected firm, was that their work on economic espionage was considered particularly valuable. And when I say economic espionage, I mean big market-type forces. You know, where's gold going? That sort of thing. And I think that's frankly a feature you would not have seen. For all the connections to the Cold War that this case brings up, I think that sort of espionage is something you probably would have seen much less of in a Cold War spying case.
Interesting. Finally, Devlin, what happened to the parents, including the couple from Cambridge? How were they received when they got back to Russia?
They were given basically a hero's welcome. I think, you know, for all intents and purposes, it seems like the Russians view it as a very successful operation all in all. Obviously, they would rather not it had been penetrated and rounded up. But I think on a certain level, they view it as a success, and they were treated as essentially returning heroes. What's interesting is that most of them have sort of dropped out of sight completely. A couple of them, there have been, you know, jobs that they seem to have assumed in Moscow or in Russia. And of course, Anna Chapman, the most notorious of the group, has become something akin to a reality TV star over there. But for example, the Cambridge couple and a number of the other couples who had kids over there, It's been very difficult to find out anything about their lives in Russia now. They just seem to be I don't know if you'd call it undercover, but certainly
vanished into the ether, unreachable anyway. Devlin Barrett, thanks so much for bringing this fascinating story to us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Devlin Barrett. He's a reporter with the Wall Street Journal. He reported today about the Russian spies who U.S. authorities say had plans to recruit their own children.